We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, we welcome you and invite you to stay tuned, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you today. Satan has always done his utmost against the people of God, but I don't think I've ever known a time, at least not in my lifetime, where the powers and forces of evil are trying to destroy everything that is good and righteous and holy as he is today. And he has so many people that are willing to work for him and work on his side. There is a need of our holding fast to the rock, Christ Jesus, for he is indeed the only Savior this world has. Although others would try to make you believe there are other ways to live to make heaven your home, Jesus Christ is the only one, and he is willing to save each and every one, for he died for all. Heavenly Father, we pray that our efforts today will be blessed by thee. We pray that the Holy Spirit will accompany song and word and make our broadcast a blessing to precious, eternity-bound souls. You see our congregation. You know them each one. You love them each one. You care for each one. So we're praying that you'll minister to them. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, Difficult Commandments. And we will use as a text St. John chapter 6 and a portion of verse 60. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We read in the scriptures where some spoke about a hard saying, and Peter spoke about Paul having written some things that were hard to be understood. Let us consider a few of these difficulties. First of all, I want to start with Joshua and Jericho. Jericho was a walled city. Now, fortified cities were taken by these means, according to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was told to lay a siege against it, Jerusalem, and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. That's Ezekiel 4 and 2. And that was the normal way to take a fenced or a walled city. However, Joshua was told to have the men of war to march around Jericho. It made no sense to many people, doubtless, to simply march around a city to try to conquer it. They were to march around one time for 6 days. And furthermore, while they were marching around, they were not to speak a word. Priests were to lead the way, and the men of war were following. But while they were marching around the city, there was to be no conversation among the men that were marching around. Now, here we have a fenced city, a walled city, and they were supposed to take it, and Joshua was instructed to have the men of war march around it one time each day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they were to march around seven times, and then they were to give a great shout. Now, it wasn't a shout, and it wasn't the marching around, but the walls came tumbling down just the same. Faith is what brought the walls down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Have you ever heard of a city being taken by just marching around it and by shouting? Well, I know a lot of people don't believe even this story that I'm referring to today. But if you believe the word of God, you believe it. And it was not the shouting, it was not the marching around, but it was faith in Almighty God and in what God said. And whenever they obeyed God and did what God told them to do, then the walls of Jericho fell and they took the city. Now, another thing that we read about in the scriptures, which I would consider a hard thing, and that was whenever Jonah was told to go to the city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a wicked city, an idol-worshipping people, and we understand that they were not all that friendly towards their prisoners. But God said to Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, Jonah did not want to do that. It was a hard thing. And so Jonah went to Joppa and took a ship and headed out to sea in the opposite direction from what he was told to do. However, God sent a great storm and the ship tossed to and fro. And finally, Jonah told him that the storm was because he was on board and he wasn't obeying what God told him to do. And so they threw him overboard at his insistence. They didn't really want to do it, but he told them to do it. And whenever they did, then the storm ceased and the waters became still. But Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Now, I believe that too, because I read it in the Bible. Someone said one time, well, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed a great fish, he'd believe it. In other words, he believes what the Word of God says, and so do I. And so Jonah was in the belly of this great fish for 3 days and three nights. And he made an altar there and prayed to God. And God took the big fish close to the shore and vomited him out. And then Jonah received the second message from the Lord that he was to go to Nineveh. And he was to go with a message that was not really a popular message. For Jonah was to tell the people, 40 more days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, according to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. And so this time, after his experience with the big fish, Jonah decided to obey God, and he went. And he walked for 3 days. So you get an idea of what size the city was. Whenever he entered the city, he started giving the message that the Lord told him to give to them. That he didn't add to it, he didn't take away from it. He just said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And he repeated that over and over as he walked across the city. And this message came to the king. And He believed the message, yes, although he was a ruler over a heathen people or an idol-worshipping people. He believed the message, and he took off his kingly robes and got down the sackcloth and ashes, and he began to fast, and he ordered all of his people to fast, and even they were to deprive the cattle, the animals, of their feed as well. And God saw their repentant heart, and he spared the city. Yes, he spared it. And after Jonah saw that God had spared it, he got pouty out there under a gourd tree, and the Lord caused the worm to kill the gourd, and Jonah got angry because the gourd tree died. He wasn't all that concerned about the people of Nineveh, but he was more concerned, it would seem, about the gourd. But the point I want to make today is that that was not an easy thing for Jonah to do. But God told him to do it, and after his experience in the sea, he decided to obey God, and he went and he delivered the message. And of course, God would have destroyed the city because of their wickedness if it had not been for the fact that they got down in sackcloth and ashes and repented, and God had mercy upon them. Now, there's another thing that's not all that easy to understand. Hosea was told to marry an adulterous woman, which he did. They had two children, and she had another child, which seemed to have been by some other man and not her husband. And she was not faithful to him, and she left him and started having affairs with other men. And I don't know just how low she went, but after she had had numbers of lovers and so on and so forth, the circumstances came around that she was going to be sold. Yes, at an auction, she was going to be sold. And Hosea was told to go and to buy her back. Yes, after all of her adulterous ways, Hosea was instructed by God to go and buy her back. Now, what we have here is a picture of how Israel and Judah treated the Lord by turning away from him and worshiping idols. In God's sight, they were adulterers. Yes, to worship any other god makes you an unfaithful person to the true and the living God. And that's the message that we find here in the book of Hosea. Israel, the northern kingdom, had been unfaithful. They, almost as soon as they broke away from Judah, the king Jeroboam set up a golden calf at Bethel and another one at Dan, and they began to worship those gods and mixed the true worship with the false worship, which made the thing contrary to God and contrary to God's will. And therefore, God allowed the Assyrian army to come up, and after a besieging of Samaria, they took Israel into captivity. And then Judah, who had at first stayed true to God, and eventually, about 100 and some years later, they did as bad or worse. God said Judah was doing worse than Israel had done. And so he allowed the Babylonian army to come up and to take them, thousands of them, into captivity for 70 years. Now, Israel was never allowed to come back and form a nation as they were before. But Judah, after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, they were permitted to return. Not all of them did return, having married and having settled down there in Babylon, and some of them decided to stay. But they had to suffer that because they disobeyed Almighty God. And it may be a little hard for us to understand how God took Hosea and used him in that way to get across the message of what Israel and Judah had done. But we read in various scriptures in the Old Testament how Israel and Judah were guilty of whoredom. Not necessarily literal whoredom, but their worshiping of idols. They're turning away from the worship of the true and the living God. Now, the Lord had a controversy against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us. And so God did indeed punish Judah as well as Israel. Now, some of the teachings of Jesus have a degree of difficulty in them. And let us return to John 6. Except you eat my flesh, or the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. John 6 and 53. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? John 6 and 60, our text for today. Now, they went away and followed him no more. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, Will you go away also? And Peter said, Where shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And beloved, that's still true today. Jesus Christ is the only one that has the words of eternal life. Now, what did Jesus mean? First of all, he would give his body and shed his blood to save us from our sins. He did not mean we were to eat his literal flesh nor drink his blood. That was forbidden in the Old Testament, and according to Acts 15, it was also forbidden in the New Testament. And the reason why they were not to drink blood was because life was in the blood. And that's why we speak of Jesus Christ giving his life, shedding his blood, so that we could have life. So he did not mean for them to eat the literal flesh or drink his literal blood. And Catholic priests do not turn bread into the flesh, nor do they turn the fruit of the vine into his blood. His physical body and literal blood does not exist any longer. Secondly, just as we must eat and drink to live, we must hunger and thirst after righteousness to be his disciples. We must live his teachings out in our life. I am the bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that man may eat thereof and not die. So we read in John 6, 48 and also 50. Now, another saying of Jesus that's not always so easy, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. And I say it may not always be easy to do, but by God's grace we can do it. Love your enemies. Yes, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do not return evil for evil, but return good for evil. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Another saying of the Master, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the one on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. Now, we have another saying from the Master. Whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. And there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus asking and inquiring about eternal life and what he must do. And Jesus told him, sell what you have and distribute to the poor and come and follow me. Now, this was a very hard saying for this young ruler. And Jesus was not saying that everybody that becomes his disciple has to sell what they have and follow him. But he saw in the heart of this young ruler where his treasure was. And he knew that this man had to get rid of that before he could truly be a disciple of Christ. So this young ruler found what Jesus said too hard, for he went away sorrowful and did not do what the Lord Jesus said. Now, a life lived for Christ will entail difficulties, trials, and tests. And our greatest adversary is the devil, and he will use anything or anybody he can to defeat us. Therefore, we must resist him steadfast in the faith. Even though there be difficult times, the Lord has promised power over all the powers of the wicked one. I don't want you to get the wrong impression from today's message. There are some difficult things, but God's grace is sufficient. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us, and that he would not let us be tempted above that which we are able to bear. And I say God always keeps his promises. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing this message with the people, this congregation today, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit has accompanied it and made it a blessing to souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. It's been a privilege to share with you another Way of Truth broadcast. If it has been a blessing, why not let us know? Our postal address, The Way of Truth, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And again, on today's broadcast, I'd like to offer you free and postage paid a booklet entitled, Why the Millennial Doctrine is Not Biblical. Why the Millennial Doctrine is Not Biblical. We'll be glad to send this booklet to you free and postage paid if you would like to have a copy. And our postal address again, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, or you may listen to some broadcast that you have missed, and you can join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service begins at 6. And our Wednesday evening service begins at 7. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Avner Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast today. Trust that it has been a blessing to you, and we invite you to tune in next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
Perfect.